Hello there, loyal listeners. This is Nathan Shelton.
And Andrew McMurtry.
And we're the producers of the Frightmare Theater podcast. We wanted to take a moment to invite you to join the Frightmare Theater Undead family and support our show on Patreon.
Patreon supporters receive a variety of petrifying perks, including behind-the-scenes content, outtakes, script downloads, invites to join in members-only Frightmare discussion groups on Discord, and even special mini-episodes like the one you were about to hear.
That's right, Andrew. We wanted to give you just a small taste of all of the gruesome goodness that awaits you as a Patreon supporter of the Frightmare Theater podcast. Producing a monthly horror radio drama really is a monstrous undertaking, and we need your help to keep the show stalking the shadows in our collective nightmares.
So, if you love what you hear and are dying to hear more, please visit patreon.com/frightmaretheaterpodcast and join us in creating quality horror radio theater.
We have deliciously devious plans for the future of this show, and we simply cannot do it without your help. Please subscribe to the Frightmare Theater podcast on your favorite podcast app and rate us on iTunes. Share the gift of horror with your friends and family and help the darkness grow.
Thanks so much for listening.
And now, sit back and enjoy this special mini-episode that we created just for you. We do these as often as we can to show our supporters how much we appreciate them.
This special mini-episode is a dramatic reading of The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, narrated by longtime Arcane collaborator George Cron. So, loyal listeners, get ready to settle in. Turn down those lights.
And turn up the terror.
The hour has grown late, and shadows lurk around every corner. A young woman sits in a coffee shop, cautiously eyeing those around her, as voices from her earbuds whisper terrible secrets into her bleeding ears. While in the darkened alley behind the downtown market, something large and scaly emerges from the storm drain and lumbers toward the nearby orphanage. And now, petrifying patrons, it is time to turn down the lights and turn up the terror. For you are teetering on the brink of utter madness known as Frightmare Theater.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "tapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wish the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my book surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lodore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now to still the beating of my heart I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, Hesitating then no longer, "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you." Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore, Lenore." Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind and nothing more." Open here, I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with the mien of lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat and nothing more. Then this ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore, "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly grim and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word it did outpour. Nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters is its only stock in store, caught from some unhappy master, whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore." But the raven, still beguiling all my fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking, fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er. But whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, oh, nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed by some unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he has sent thee, respite, respite, and nepenthe thee from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, O quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore. Desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by the heaven that bends above us, by the God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting. Get thee back into the tempest and the nice Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul has spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken, quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
The Frightmare Theater podcast is brought to you by Arcane, where darkness is worn as a cozy blanket. Tonight's very special radio theater presentation entitled The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe featured voice talent and sound design by George Cron and additional sound designs by Nathan Shelton. The Frightmare Theater theme is created by the terrifyingly talented Chris Porcelli and can be found along with other haunting scores at chrisporcellipiano.com. Be sure to stalk Frightmare Theater on social media and subscribe to the Frightmare Theater podcast via iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite listening app. Producing a monthly horror radio drama is a monstrous undertaking, and we want to deeply thank you for your support on Patreon. This special episode is dedicated to our very first patron, C.J. Fisher from St. Louis, Missouri. All previous petrifying episodes of Frightmare Theater have been unearthed and are proudly displayed for the shock and horror of the masses at FrightmareTheaterPodcast.com. We so deeply wish to thank you for listening and hope you join our Black Mass again next month for an all-new terrifying episode. Until then, I am the announcer, wishing you pleasant dreams.